President Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth. When we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evidence Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for at least the next hour on this November the 23rd on the West Coast, now November the 24th on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone. We'd like to welcome all those listening around the world on Wind Talkers Radio Network and on BlogTalkRadio.com. Got to spend a couple of hours today on Drew Raine's A Marine's Disquisition on those two networks that I just mentioned, and got a few calls and chat messages. Actually, we had quite an obscene phone call. That's a first. And it's really crazy how somebody has to try to debunk the truth that's coming out by being vulgar. It's amazing. But my listeners don't do that, and if they did, Seth would cut him off right away anyway. So he's got that magic tone that he can play. It's like a 1 kilohertz tone, and it erases your voice. So if you use foul language, we will cut it out. But I'm not worried about that tonight. I announced erroneously, per my schedule, that Dr. A. Truat was going to be on, and quite some time ago, he notified me that he was going to be out of town, and I failed to change the schedule. When that happens, my standby usually is a man that's got a great website, one of the best research sites in the whole world, and he's a frequent guest on Evident Footprints. In fact, he's scheduled to be on tomorrow. So he's going to be the second guest that I've had two nights in a row in quite some time. And he is a researcher, a journalist, a metaphysical scientist, and my good friend Ken Adachi. Ken, welcome to the show tonight.
Thank you very much, Don. I always appreciate being on the show with you. So thanks for inviting me.
Well, I'm appreciative that you came on such short notice. I guess Dr. Ott is going to be away just for about a week. So for some reason, I failed to make a note of that officially. But I do recall him saying that, and Drew straightened me out in his marine voice. So we had a great show today, though. A lot of truth was coming out about a number of issues, and primarily we focused on this Fort Hood thing. But I know that you've been looking at a lot of things, and I know that on the basis of who you've been talking to recently, things are way off the charts. Anything in particular you'd like to discuss?
Yes, there's a lot of interesting things we could go into, and I'm sort of anxious to dive into a number of areas. But what I'll do is I'll focus tonight's conversation more on what I think is intriguing, newly discovered phenomena, let's put it that way. And the emphasis tonight will be on
Evident Footprints.
Sending out the message via Evident Footprints that we have to focus on the nature of man, the nature of creation itself, to move forward and upward, to advance in a positive direction. And we're achieving that actually daily. And because we, it's normal to concentrate our attention on the desperation, shall we say, of the people who've taken control of our government, of our military, of our intelligence agencies, and have, over time, gradually perverted and corrupted those organizations into goals which are not in the best interest of the people of this country. I'm sure listeners to this show are fairly well appraised of what the New World Order is and what their agenda is. However, I like to talk about things which should help us feel better about being alive, because life is a wonderful gift. Mm-hmm. And despite the fact that there are so many apparently negative developments going on with the Congress, you know, there seems to be this unrelenting march towards the New World Order takeover, you know, a greater loss of constitutional guarantees, liberties, increasing control over our lives, the poisoning efforts via chemtrails, swine flu, vaccinations, a contaminated food supply, degraded crops, adulterated drugs, etc., all adulterated water supplies, all intended to weaken us as a race and to make us collectively dumber and less aware. And, you know, the goal is to try to create a controlled society. They want robots. They want a worker society, and the manipulators who are behind this effort to bring in a one-world government and have a power division between lords of the manor and serfs. That's what they're after in the end. That's the sort of worker society they're pushing for. Okay, we know all that. We've reviewed that topic on many occasions. However, there are so many interesting things taking place at this time because partly because of the efforts to destroy a good part of the world's population through these very onerous and dark agendas, we're seeing remarkable things. And one of them is, which is what I'd like to at least start this conversation out tonight, is the remarkable ability of chemtrail detoxification and neutralization via, the first tier that we encountered of efforts that seemed, well, let me go back to the very beginning. I was putting up some essays on my website, even going back to 1999 and 2000, in which some people were writing in and encouraging people to pray as a way to ask for assistance, divine assistance, as it were, to help break up chemtrails. And even back in that early period, when we're just documenting the chemtrail phenomena, there seemed to be some evidence that that was working. And in 2002, Don Croft and his wife made a tremendous leap in assisting mankind in so much that they put together this device that later we called, coined the Chembuster by myself. Don called it a Cloudbuster, but I use the term Chembuster to distinguish it from the Wilhelm Reich Cloudbuster, which is a different device. And the use of these orgone generators, as they're called, seem to have a mitigating effect on the negative polarity of orgone energy, which is called Dor. It seemed to have the effect of transmuting it into the positive polarity called Or. So we started to make and distribute these orgone generators around the United States first, and then they started to be made and sent to other countries, and it seemed to make a difference. We noticed the difference on infrared radar maps. Wherever you put a chem buster, they filtered out, the government has since filtered out these images from the infrared maps. But for about 6 or 8 months after this movement took off in early 2002, you could see this huge, perfectly blue, circular, it wasn't even a circle, it was a solid, it was a solid circle of blue, of a blue color. Mm-hmm. And, because orgone, when it manifests, it's seen as it's blue in color. If you recall the sort of purplish blue mist you might see hanging in high mountain passes, like the Blue Ridge Mountains or the Smoky Mountains, that's due to a heavy concentration of the ore polarity of orgone, and it looks blue. And Trevor Constable pointed out to me, in fact, he used one of the photos in one of his books, is that when the astronauts were on the moon, and I forget which astronaut, one of them had turned on his transmission equipment, and because of the charge from the transmission of the radio signal, it charged the orgone in his immediate, around his body. So you saw this blue aura around him. It's very distinct, very easily seen. This was, a NASA, an officially released NASA photo. So when positive orgone energy is seen by the eye, it's blue in color. And for some reason, it shows up as a blue ball on infrared weather maps. I don't know why, but it was blue. And somewhere around late 2002, early 2003, we noticed that you no longer could see this phenomenon. It simply disappeared from infrared maps. So that told us that the government put in filters, mm-hmm, to filter out the images so you couldn't see it, because they were trying, through their disinformation agents and their debunkers, to convince us, the people in the movement, that this was having no effect on chemtrails. It wasn't doing any good. They wanted to discourage its proliferation, because it was having the effect. It was causing chemtrails to break up, as it were, so they couldn't spread out into that typical overcast which we're all familiar with for so many years.
Now, is there a particular area where this is going on, or are you saying pretty much everywhere?
Where orgone generators are?
No, I'm saying, the removal of these images.
Oh, well, okay, yeah. What we were doing at the time is, we were all thrilled. I wasn't the first to see this, but someone sent it to me. And there was a guy, I have the link on my chemtrail index page. Some guy had a website sort of devoted to these radar images, because he was recording all kinds of stuff. They were transmitting all kinds of signals from military bases that could easily be seen on, as a perfectly circular event going out for miles from various military bases. So we knew they were transmitting stuff,
Mm-hmm.
And, so anyway, he had a lot of these images there, and what we would do, and this is, in early 2002, there weren't that many chembusters out there, we're just starting. So when someone put one up, he went right to the infrared map, and bingo, there it was. You can see this huge blue circle that went out for miles. And of course, in the early phase of making chembusters, you would get a visit from a black helicopter. I did the first night I put up a chembuster. Don Croft sent my first one to me. Seemed to me as maybe perhaps February of 2002, February or March, I'm not sure. And the very first night I set it up, I got some pipes locally, and I plugged them in, and I put it out in the patio, and bingo, we had a black helicopter over the house, 150 to 200 feet over the house at 2 o'clock in the morning. This is in a high density urban area, and this thing, whop, 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 running a spotlight around the you know, the complex that I, you know, the unit that I lived in, there was a total of 4 apartments in the unit. And as I told you in private conversation, they just wanted to intimidate me. They wanted me to know that they knew I had a Chembuster. And they just spent about 10 minutes there. You know, I know they were photographing us. They have infrared equipment that could see you inside the house. I knew all that. I wasn't worried at all. I mean, I knew what they were doing. I knew why they were doing it. But they could see the same thing we could see. You see this huge blue ball. And what it did, it confirmed to me, beyond all doubt, that the Chembuster was having the desired effects. They would not have paid me a visit. Now, they since stopped doing that. Actually, they stopped that some years ago because there's simply too many people that had too many Chembusters. But in that very first year, that was a regular routine. I had a lady from Connecticut, got her Chembuster, same deal, first day she put it out, you know, low-flying black helicopters circling her house, and you know, they wanted to intimidate people. Some people got a little bit frightened, took them down, but most people, you know, weren't fazed by that. So that was had a very, you know, very heartening effect, because we could see we could have some effect on busting up chemtrails.
Mm-hmm.
And then in 2004, actually it was in late 2003, Z.S. Livingstone wrote an article, and he called it The Gas Giants of Jupiter, I think is the name of it. And he has the ability in a dream state, not in a conscious state, but in a dream state to communicate with sylphs. And he was told that there would be an influx into the Earth of giant sylphs from other planetary systems of our solar system, from Jupiter, from Uranus, etc., and that they would come in to assist in the chemtrail cleanup operation. And in March of 2004, we started to see these sylphs. It's first time, it was Carol Croft who first pointed a sylph out to me in the sky. They came to visit me, and we were at a mall, and we were talking about it. And I said, well, what does a sylph look like? She says, well, there's one right over there. She just pointed to one. I could see it sort of had chevron wing shaped. And I says, oh, what do you know? So from that moment forward, I started to pay attention and took a lot of photos, of course. And gradually I became accustomed to spotting them from an ordinary cloud, you know. So that was also a pleasant surprise. And we noticed that when they hit us hard with chemtrails, these so-called sylphs would start coming in greater and greater numbers. They seemed to start small, and then as the day progressed, you know, they're constantly laying fresh lines of chemtrails down, they seemed to grow. It's as if they were eating the chemtrails and getting larger as a result of that. I mean, it seemed that way at least, because as the day wore on, the sylphs would grow substantially till they got to the point they seemed to like fill half of the horizon with a single sylph. It just looked huge, and yet the chemtrails just couldn't stick. They couldn't get an overcast. They seemed to be able to transmute them as fast as they were laying them down. And so that was a very nice change. And, of course, there'd be some days in which chemtrails seemed to get the upper hand, but for the most part, sylphs seemed to come out on a regular basis. Whenever they sprayed chemtrails, we'd see these sylphs. And as you know, since we had a call-in from General Jeremiah in July, he announced the fact that his group was dispensing a serum into the Earth's atmosphere to detoxify chemtrails. And I, at least here, have noticed a even greater improvement in the clarity of the sky, the blueness, and the frequency of real clouds. Now more than ever, we have days after day of genuine cumulus clouds. Yeah, they still spray chemtrails. I just was taking pictures on the November 21 and 22. I'm going to be putting them on my website. But They just can't seem to get the overcast effect. They can't even get the line to fan out to speak of before it's transmuted. And what I was just doing a little bit today is spending some time cropping some photos from these gorgeous-looking cumulus clouds on November 21 and 22. There are so many etheric images embedded in what I would call cumulus clouds. There are still separate, standalone structures, which are definitely silts because of their unusual shape. But I noticed there are etheric images that seem to inhabit what are normal puffy cumulus clouds along the border, sometime within the interior of it. But I'm just seeing such an amazing variety of very highly detailed faces, entire bodies. I see some animals that you can pretty much make out the entire body. I had one that looked like a hippopotamus. Had another that looked like a Tyrannosaurus Rex dinosaur. Others are very human-looking faces, extremely detailed. Oh, my Lord. And it could be, before I was aware of sylphs or any of this, it could have been in earlier times before they started the chemtrail bombardment in the winter of 97-98, that ordinary cumulus clouds contain these images, and I simply didn't know or observe them. Or these manifestations are somehow a result of the daily spreading of chemtrails, and it seems that these etheric images are sort of part of the skyscape now. Whenever there's a cloud, it doesn't just have to be a sylph itself, but whenever there's clouds, I'm seeing these images all the time, and I'm taking pictures most days, and I usually don't have the time to devote to cropping them in Photoshop and so forth, but I take the pictures anyway, so when I have a little bit of free time, I could look into it. But this is simply a remarkable development, this detoxifying of the sky of chemtrails by, for the reasons I mentioned earlier. And then there seems to be this, shall we call it a menagerie in the sky, of these images. And it just seems that they are having practically no success whatsoever in chemtrail, spreading. It just doesn't happen. There was 2 days this month which they hit us very hard here, and it was unusual because normally we don't get chemtrail barrages here anymore.
Yeah, well, when you think about the fact that chemtrail spraying, depending on where you were in the country or where you are in the country, the people in Colorado describe seeing them all over Colorado in 1995. So there's a very good chance that the spraying started there, just that they could study what was going on until they decided to do it everywhere else. Now, on a normal day, you might see scattered clouds, puffy clouds, but you don't see that so much anymore. You see these fronts coming in. You see accumulation of cloud cover that covers big portions of the whole nation. And when you see a satellite shot of that cloud cover, sometimes the whole country is covered with this. Mm. And as children and growing up, even as young adults, I don't recall seeing that. And most people I know haven't seen that. Now, when you have somebody spraying a toxic substance in the air, and what's ridiculous is they deny doing it. I mean, come on, folks, let's wake up here, so the sylphs are coming. They never needed to come before they started chemtrail spraying. And you have to acknowledge that there's a higher power that's orchestrating these cleanup activities.
Yes, there you go.
Make, you see.
Yeah, you're sort of, you're, once again, you're doing it again, Don. You're going where I was going to go. So your ability to pick up, you know, what I'm hinting at is really extraordinary. So I don't mind at all, though. So go ahead if you
want.
Well,
it is my show. I do get to say something once.
Exactly.
In a while.
No, I do enjoy what you have to say too. I enjoy listening to you as much as I like to talk myself. So.
Yeah, well, I'm listening to what you're saying, and I'm recalling these images from days gone by where, you know, you would see this nice puffy cloud. You know, they would look like cotton balls. You know,
exactly. Yeah.
And they would be scattered, and you would see blue sky. Anymore, you get these dark, ominous looking clouds that come in, or something that resembles a fog or a tornado. I described that to you very recently, in fact.
Yes.
And, you know, I've been busy, so I haven't been able to write up that piece for you, but there was
if you want to just talk about it a bit so the people listening to this show will know what you observed?
Yeah, I don't mind. There was a day a couple of weeks ago where I had the need to go out and handle a couple of affairs, and I'm driving westward, and I look up in the sky, and I see, oh, at about 75,000 feet, I'm going to guess, I saw some jets spraying chemtrails, and they were sort of following the curvature of the Earth. Now, while I'm watching that, I'm seeing the chemtrails spreading out, and they're spreading rather rapidly. This was a different texture of spray that was going on, and you know, 75,000 feet is a pretty high altitude. Now, I was in a couple of stores, and when I came out, the whole sky was covered. Completely, it was overcast, and by the time I got home, I noticed that the clouds were very, very low, extremely low, and I thought to myself, boy, if there was a skyscraper here, you probably wouldn't be able to see the top of it. That's how low this cloud cover was, and it wasn't just white or hazy clouds. They looked ominous. They had streaks of black in them. And I've seen black chemtrails before, but this was the nature of the cloud. It looked just like it was going to be a tornado. And anyone that's ever seen those types of storms when they come in, they're pretty ferocious. Now, the strangest thing is usually when you see a tornado sky with these dark clouds, and they're usually billowing and churning, and they may even take on a vertexial motion. Well, they didn't do that. This was a very still cloud pattern that just moved in this gigantic mass. And I thought to get a picture of it, you know, all of this was occurring, the spraying and then the subsequent total cover of the sky occurred a few minutes before sunset. And then as twilight was approaching, that's when this cloud cover just covered everything. And I can tell you that there was nothing in the vicinity from any direction that these clouds could have come in so rapidly. It was the freakiest thing. And you and I had talked about that. I remarked about how unusual that was because the sky was perfectly clear as far as you could see. Miles. You know, I would say there was 20 to 25 mile visibility easily in the skies. They were blue. Sun was just about to set. And when upon returning home, that's when I saw that these clouds had just enveloped everything. By the time I went to get my camera and was able to get my camera and go out to take a picture of it, it had already passed. It was already way off to the eastern horizon, which also was strange because the wind wasn't blowing very, very much at all. It was eerily still, in fact. So something, you know, some kind of strange spraying was going on there. But I called the sylphs, too. And it could have been them just munching away because the whole thing passed. Now, are you still there, Ken?
Sorry. I put on my mute button, too, while you were talking. That's pretty interesting. One wonders if there isn't something even stranger going on. If, you know, it's not news to you, for instance, or the others who know that alien ships often mask their presence using clouds. And some people have thought that the more negative aliens, at least the ones that depend on energy systems that incorporate Dor energy, their cloud ships tend to look black and dark, whereby it seems that other groups, friendlier groups, have a different energy system, and they tend to envelop themselves in what looks like a white cloud bank. So that's got my curiosity up a little, if there wasn't, you know, some sort of even, you know, more, let's say, unusual phenomena going on beyond.
If somebody was masking themselves in cloud cover, there was a whole flotilla of ships.
Well, that's what I'm almost imagining, because sometimes these, you know, ships can be many miles long. I'm not saying this. I'm just speculating off the top of my head as to what was taking place. There's so many unusual things that occur, and the news passes an off as conventional phenomena. As you know, on November 18th, there was a huge flash over Utah, and the news stations, a lot of people caught it on their cameras. They called it a meteorite that was made it, you know, far enough through the atmosphere that it briefly burned up and lit up the sky.
And the 5 o'clock or the 6 o'clock news people know that.
Right, right.
Experts in that area.
Right. So we know that another event entirely took place at that time, and there was an air battle of sorts, and it involved UFO craft, etc. And we're given these stories that fit with the dumbed down cover story that we get about everything that takes place. You know, you pointed out some months ago in Ohio that there was a space battle taking place, and they had to obscure that from being seen from the ground. So they just loaded up the sky in your area there with chemtrails, so you couldn't see what was taking place.
Well, yeah, they pretty much covered the whole state and part of Canada.
Right.
This was a wide area. That was on August 25th, in fact.
Okay. So, getting back, though, to the phenomena of the sylphs, that there's a tendency for people who are getting bombarded with chemtrails. They don't see sylphs coming in, and they're very upset, of course. And they have to know that you can do something about it. It helps if you have orgone generators. It helps a lot. But by thinking about calling in sylphs, that also helps. And I think if you do all of those things, if you distribute orgone generators, you set up a chem buster, if you think positive thoughts, if you daily communicate, as it were, to your gratitude, for instance, to Mother Earth. You know, the American Indians always had the story correct. Well, I mean, beyond, you know, the Indians from India also have the story correct, because Hindu texts, particularly ancient texts, recognize, as do many people who have a greater understanding of what this reality is that the Earth, like all the planets in our system, in fact, is not just an inert pile of clay and rock. It is a being. It's a conscious, sentient being.
Mm-hmm.
And the more we recognize that the Earth and the Sun, in its own way, is a consciousness, okay, that is working in concert with the Earth to produce the environment and the matrix that allows food to grow. And therefore, if Mother Earth did not make it possible for plants to grow, you know, we would not be here. And so if you keep this thought in your mind, when you eat food, if you give thanks to the Creator for providing, of course, but also for Mother Earth, and it's working in league with the higher consciousness of the Sun to provide the correct balance of energy and provide the physical matrix that allows plants to grow and for seeds to germinate and all that. And then if you thank all those who are involved in the cultivation and planting of seeds, the cultivation and the caring of crops, the gathering of crops, harvesting, transportation, everyone who's involved in handling food from the time it started as a seed to the point, you know, that it's on your plate and sitting before you as a meal, if you just thank all those who are involved in getting this food to you, that you realize we're all part of of the Creator's grand scheme here, the grand plan. And we're inhabitants of Earth, and if we respect the Earth properly, it will give us bounty. And those who don't understand that, and, you know, pull oil out of the Earth, the oil should remain in the Earth. We've had free energy technology since 1888 when Tesla discovered radiant energy. We could have been using it, but, you know, these spiritually retarded controllers don't want free energy available to the public. So we have to pay for destructive energy. And however, though, this growth of consciousness, I started this conversation off, continues to go forward regardless of what the negative types do to impede it. And as you just says, despite what has the appearance of being, you know, dire straits for the Constitution and for where we're going, I see also I see a great deal of light, you know, on the other side of the tunnel. And while I don't expect to, you know, see everything resolved in the next year or two, I don't see the New World Order succeeding. I really don't. As dark as it seems, I just see too many forces in play that is going to cause the New World Order to collapse. First, I think many of the people who are involved in installing the New World Order, I'm talking about the minions now, not the not the Illuminati, not the manipulators, not the planners. I'm talking about the minions. A lot of them are in it for the money, for the power. A lot of them are under mind control. A lot of them, well, a certain percentage of them, think it's the desirable thing to do. But I think a much larger number are coming to the realization that they're participating in an agenda that is destroying humanity, and ultimately will lead to their own destruction. You cannot participate in the destruction of other people, no matter how removed you are from the, you know, the actual killing, and not destroy yourself. No man is an island. And karma, the law of cause and effect, is in play at all times. You will reap what you sow. And usually you reap 10 times more severe than what you have sown. So I think more and more of those in, you know, FEMA, Homeland Security, perhaps FBI, who knows, even CIA types, military intelligence, or just military people in general, mostly good people. They, you know, they believe in the concept of what America's supposed to be. I think more and more are waking up. And I think collectively you will see a internal, breaking of the ranks, in so much that those who are clearly trying to, you know, move along with the destruction of the New World Order, I think gradually those people are going to find themselves in a minority. And, you know, all these destructive types are cowards by nature. And frankly, I just think, it's going to collapse. I just feel it won't be, you know, a sudden thing, but I think over the next few years, we're going to see a turnaround. Hopefully, Obama will be removed from office, you know, because, you know, he's an illegal alien. He, you know, he has no more authority to be the president than, you know, someone who sneaks into the country from across the border, or, you know, or jumps a ship. So, I just want to, you know, remind people, don't allow the current bad news in the media discourage you too much. Better days are definitely coming, and there'll be rough spots, I'm sure, but I just don't see the New World Order making it, you know? Those underground bases and camps and all that, they think they're going to run to that for safety when it gets bad on the surface. And I don't think that's going to work out for them. I think Mother Nature has got other plans for those underground bases, and they might wind up entombing themselves there. You might be a lot better off just stay up here on the surface. Anyways, you can give me your thoughts on that. But.
Well, we got a caller. Yeah, I will. We have Rodney in South Carolina had been patiently holding for us. Rodney, welcome to Evident Footprints. Question or comment for Canadacci?
Whoa. Thank you for taking my call. Ken, the Chembusters.
Mm-hmm.
I want some.
Well, sure.
They nailed us. Now, wait a minute. They nailed us so bad on the, let me look at the calendar here, the 19th, 20th, and 21st of this month. Of course, then it rained Sunday, it's cloudy today, but they nailed us so bad. It now, my animals outside, my indoor dog has to go outside, is sick. I want some payback.
Well, you should definitely get a Chembuster and get some of these small orgone generators, and you want to distribute them at every cell tower you find within a 2-mile radius of your home. The cell tower is a door transmitter, And when we plant a few little, they don't have to be big, the 4 ounce muffin size works.
The cell towers are part of this?
Oh, definitely. The entire microwave cellular tower network, along with Gwen towers, are part of a nationwide grid of electro. It's working in league with HARP to both control the weather and to assist in the chemtrail poisoning operation. There's a mind control aspect to microwave towers. It's a very, multifaceted operation. But, you know, we started to put this information, at least on my website, in 2001, 2002. So, yes, cell phone towers are part of a larger national network of electronic mind control, weather manipulation, and chemtrail, let's say, enabling technologies.
How do I get these?
Okay, well, there's more than one way. First, there are directions on my website. If you want to make a chembuster or orgone generators, the instructions are on my website. Don Croft mainly, but others participating in putting up a lot of articles, which are found on my website. You go to my home page. It introduces what my website is about, and in the very first paragraph, you see a link to an article called "Hello Blue Goodbye Chemtrails, Hello Blue Skies."
What is
I
your
wrote
website?
That. That's on my homepage, so just go to educate-yourself.org homepage. And right near the top, the first or second paragraph, look for the article. It's linked. It's linked right there. It's called "Goodbye Chemtrails, Hello Blue Skies." Click on that link. I'll take you to this article that I published in January of 2002. And in it, I explain what orgone generators are, and then there's a lengthy tutorial there from Don Croft on how to make your own chembuster. You can also link within that article to articles on how to make your own. There's a larger orgone generator, which Don Croft dubbed as an HHG. And then there's smaller ones, which we call tower busters. So you can make them yourself if you wish. You have to, you know, gather various materials, but it's not that hard. If you want to obtain them from me, then I have them available. I have a page called Orgone Generators. You can click it on. You can get them from other people on the internet. Just put in the word Orgone Generators in a search engine and you'll find plenty of vendors. I can't vouch for what other people are doing. I'll just, you know, vouch for my own stuff, but there's plenty of people out there making them. And, you know, if you like what I've got there, by all means, send me an email. I got a fair amount of testimonials from people who got a chembuster, and in some cases they just got spectacular results right out of the box. I mean, there's one guy who was just put a video together. This was just a few months ago.
Ken,
he got
in other
a big.
Words, what I'm asking you is, I want to take something out of a box, put it on my land. I have access. I'm out in the open land. Near a lot of those cell towers. I have people that will help me set them up. I'm not worried about black helicopters. I dealt with them in 91 in Ohio. We won that battle. Okay? I was with a friend from the former military that I was at his ranch when the helicopters were buzzing his cows and his livestock. And he went into the barn and said, "Keep an eye out the door for me." And he opened up a box and pulled out some of his toys. And we proceeded to go outside and look at the black helicopters. And he let them know that we were looking at them the same way that they were looking at us. And they weren't going to win.
Mm-hmm.
And if they want to play that game again, I'd be more than happy to oblige them. Because I even know more people just like that right where I'm living. If they want the contest, we'll give it to them.
Yeah. Just while we're talking about, you know, for the most part, these individuals are military guys attached to special units. they're just given orders, you know, fly out here and do that. You know, I wouldn't be too, you know, too concerned. They're not going to necessarily do much other than observe, but it's always a good idea to get out a video camera and zoom in on them. We've noticed many times people chase them off just by getting out there with a camera. You know, they're usually flying too low. You know, there's rules about how low you're supposed to fly a helicopter, and they're usually below that mark. So if you had videotape evidence, you can go right to the FAA and your local government, and you can put some heat on these guys. So yeah, just taking out a camera. But anyway, just getting back to Orgo and generators. Yeah, just send me an email if you want to get some stuff from me. We can arrange it. Go to my website. Just go to the Contact Us page, and just send me an email. Just say who you are in the subject line. You know, Rodney from.
I will, but that's educateyourself.org.
Yes, important to put the hyphen. Yeah. Educate yourself. Just why we're talking about. Yeah, without the hyphen, you won't get to me, because other people bought up sites that educate yourself without the hyphen. They bought up those URLs, so you won't get me. Somebody did that years ago. It really annoyed me. Educate-yourself.com, which a lot of people think it is a .com, and at that time, this guy, it was even a porn site there. So the only one that will work is educate-yourself.org. Any other spelling or any without the hyphen, et cetera, it won't work. That's the only URL that will get to me.
Educateyourself-hyphen.org?
No.
Educate-hyphen.
Between the two words. Hyphen between educate and yourself.
Oh, okay. That's why I'm trying to make a note. Educate-yourself.org. And that's you. Okay, because, I mean, we are totally fed up with this stuff. Let's put it this way. I talked to the one guy, and he has a very large ranch of livestock, and he's former military. And he looked at me, and last summer, I told Dr. K about it. They came down low enough. They were just, I don't know, they're probably about 4,000 foot. You could see the stuff coming out the rear tail, and you could see the damn rivets on the plane.
Wow.
And he made a phone call and told somebody, and I was there when I heard him. He says, you do this one more time. He says, I'm going to put that son of a bitch in the ground, and we'll find out who's going to play this game.
Mm-hmm.
He said, and you know my rank, and he said, you know I'll do it. And he got so mad, and I knew what he said. He said, blue eyes only, you son of a bitch.
Yeah, right. I mean, they're poisonous, you know, at least for those craft that have human pilots. A lot of the craft are being operated by computer robotic controls. But those craft with pilots, I'm sorry, they're committing treason. They're engaged in acts of crimes against humanity. Whatever they're telling themselves or their commanders are telling them or their CIA bosses or whoever the hell is giving them orders, I'm sorry, whatever junk they're giving you, you're poisoning people. You're committing crimes.
Yeah.
And
yep.
When you're trying to kill people, they have a right to take you out.
Yeah. Rodney, I got to let you go. I've got another call on hold here.
Okay, I'm going to make it real quick. Very soon, I'm going to set up a camcorder with the zoom lens, and I'm going to see how good it is. Who wants the tape? I want it put out on the air when it's done.
Oh, I'll put it on my site.
Oh, yeah.
Or Ken will, too.
Sure.
Okay. Because I'm sick and tired of this. Let me put it to you this way. I know what time of year it is. I know how you're describing them. They're laying it down, and then all of a sudden they actually disappear. They go side to side. They do the checkerboards. They do the whole 9 yards. And I got plenty of time now that it's going in the winter. Hey, smile. You're on candid camera.
Yeah. Go ahead. Send me that email. I'll lay out to you a plan, and you're going to be very pleasantly surprised with what you see after you get a few toys there.
Oh, we will definitely get this done, because I'm sick and tired of watching our planet being destroyed.
Yeah, me too. Rodney, got to let you go, but thanks
God
for calling.
God bless you both. We'll talk to you soon.
All right.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, we've got Gary in Arkansas on hold. Gary, welcome to Evident Footprints. Question or comment for Ken Adachi?
Hello. Good evening, gentlemen. I had a couple of comments on chemtrails, and I had some questions about the Oregon generator and the cloud buster or chemtrail buster.
Mm-hmm.
I was out smoking in the wintertime with a little breeze blowing, and I noticed when I looked up at the high-intensity sodium vapor light, I could see these little sparkles in the air. And it became obvious to me, being an electrical engineer, that these things were extremely small particles. They were highly electrostatically charged and were repelling each other.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the way home, it was kind of a foggy night. And I looked over to the high-intensity lights in the parking lot, in the shopping area, and I could see like a dandelion, when it blooms, it gets that fuzz ball on top.
Yep.
But this was like an orange fuzz ball, and then the streamer of light would come down and hit the windshield and into my glasses. So the light was traveling from that light down a path towards my eyes. And I've also noticed a change in chemtrails. It used to look real soupy gray looking, and I've noticed since I've been here in Arkansas that the color has kind of changed to a yellowish, slightly tint of brown, which indicates a different mixture. And the old chemtrails, I've been watching these things for over 10 years now. And the old chemtrails, when the sun would set, you would get a refractory index that was orange. No, it wasn't orange. The old ones were orange, and then it went to a kind of a magenta, a bright pink-looking color. And now I'm noticing that it's gone from that to a yellow. So apparently the chemical composition through the refraction of the sun setting through the atmosphere indicates a different chemical signature.
Mm-hmm.
The pink one I would assume was barium. I don't know what the orange one was, and this new one, the yellowish looking thing, I don't know, but we have been totally covered up. I haven't seen blue sky here in Arkansas in my area for such a long time. It's almost like depressing. It's kind of like living in Alaska where I used to live and not seeing the sun for weeks on end. Anyway, I wanted to ask you some questions about what is the difference between an Oregon generator and a chemtrail buster?
Well, the chemtrail buster is just I abbreviate it as chem buster, but it's a chemtrail buster. It's a large large bucket. I either make them in 2 gallon or 5 gallon. A large bucket of what we call an Oregon generator material, with six pipes embedded in it, and the pipes have crystals and copper coils at the bottom of them, okay? And I use some other, what's called sacred geometries, certain shapes inside the container. So a chem buster is a single large Oregon generator, 2 or 5 gallons in size, with pipes coming out of them. And the pipes act as waveguides, which draws Oregon, atmospheric orgone, into the pipes. It's transmuted in the pipes from the door polarity into the positive or, and it radiates outward. So it used to be, you don't always see this, but occasionally you do, but when we first set up chembusters, you put it up, and within 10 minutes, assuming you had chemtrail overcast, you would see a blue hole forming right above the thing. I mean, just a perfectly round hole would spread out. That was wonderful. We have a number of photos of that, which were taken in 2002. Then they started to add inert substances to the chemtrails that would not respond to, in other words, they weren't harmful, but they caused an opaqueness so you wouldn't see the hole. They were trying to have us think that the chembusters weren't working. But we knew what they were doing. Carol Croft, who has quite a bit of ability as a psychic, could read the minds. Well, not read the minds, excuse me, but she's able to, let's say, travel in the astral, and she could listen in to conversations, and she was aware of what they were attempting to do. So, So anyway, you may or may not see a blue hole in these days, but you will definitely have an effect. Sometimes it takes a couple weeks for a chembuster to build up a head of steam, as it were. Sometimes people don't see a change right out of the box, but usually within 2 weeks you will. You'll bring in sylphs, and if you gift the smaller tower busters to these cell phone towers, which, as I mentioned earlier, are door transmitters. They're actually radiating this negative door energy to keep this, you know, this negative matrix in place. When you gift them, you transmute the signal that's being radiated. So now you're making it an aura transmitter. I mean, it's beautiful. We're actually turning the tables. We're using their technology to undermine their stuff.
And it gets rid of global warming, too.
Apparently. It's been this remarkable change. So anyway, it's quite remarkable. See, what you're telling me is what we used to suffer here. I remember it was like that here in 1999, 2000, 2001. I saw that as constant overcast. Yeah, it gets depressing. You never see a blue sky. I see nothing but blue skies here. And it's been this way for all of this year. I mean, since 2004, it's big improvement in this area. But I gifted this area back in, I don't know, 2003, I think. And I got a big chembuster. I make chembusters. I mean, there's a lot of chembusters here. So it'll definitely make a difference. If you send me an email, I'll send you the link to this guy who set up a big 5 gallon a few months ago, and I think it was in June. And man, what a show he had! He had like an armada of sylphs going over his place like on June 2nd. He was just giddy. He was so happy. He was just seeing nothing but overcast and chemtrails and gray skies and all that garbage. And I haven't heard from him since then, but man, he was delighted with what he, you know, the results he saw. So it's not as if we can stop him from spraying, but you will prevent those chemtrails from sticking and overcasting.
Now, you know, Ken, a lot of people are using the metal flakes or metal filings, I remember Don Croft used to say, go to your nearest machine shop and just sweep some of it up off the floor. I don't know if I would do that personally, but just when you see what goes on in a machine shop, I think, you know, you'd understand. However, I studied what Reich himself did, and he was making these in a box, basically a wooden box. And you want to have some insulating material in between the layers, for one thing. And I tried using a super fine, you know, this is a quadruple zero steel wool.
Steel wool, yeah.
And you just fluff it up. Mm-hmm. And it seems to work a lot faster with that. I've used metal shavings in the first ones that I built, and then later on I used actually a very high grade epoxy resin as my bonding material and, you know, grounding material.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Gary. You have a question.
One quick question I had: does the positive Orgone generator, or changing the negative to the positive, does that have any positive effect on your mental state of mind?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You should, you can, you know, I have literally hundreds of articles on my website on the effects of Orgone generators. Between 2002 and 2006, Don Croft especially, but others, had, you know, sent me a very large volume of articles. And they're all on my website. They're archived there. But if you go to my Orgone Generator page, excuse me, you'll find links to articles on how to make the Orgone Generators if you want to do it yourself. But you'll also find links, or just do a search, Google search, put in my website's name plus Don Croft, and there's hundreds of articles there. And it'll tell you, definitely, there is a big improvement in your emotional state. People have noticed. They feel much more optimistic. They feel upbeat. They feel positive. Birds will start singing. Kids start playing. I mean, there's a definite effect on people's emotions when you change from this door energy, which is depressive, and it's, you know, it's destructive by nature. See, there's two polarities to everything, and I'm sure you probably know this, Gary, but throughout the university, there's a positive and negative polarity. One isn't necessarily bad and the other good. I'm not saying that. Everything's a matter of being in a cycle. We go through a growth cycle, and then there's a decay cycle. That's the normal part of life. So the decay cycle is where the door energy should be, okay? In you know, normal growth, you know, you know whether it's a plant or a person, you grow, and, you know, you have a time in which you're blooming, and then it's a gradual decline. That's normal. Okay, but anyway, if you're forcing the destructive aspect of it, as they are, then
the balance.
Yeah, they're kind of using this door to do negative things with, or I should say door accompanies negative activity. Radiations produce door. Nuclear reactors produce door fields. Where there's a lot of violence and dark emotions, it produces door fields. So, because door is the polarity that goes along with the destructive cycle. So when you use an Orgone generator, it transmutes the door, returns it to the positive, and it has many effects, not only on people, but plants and animals. Your plants will grow more vigorously in the presence of Orgone generators. We noticed this from the very beginning. We did tests. We put, potted plants with a small Orgone generator, and then, you know, some distance away, another potted plant, same conditions, and the plant with the Orgone generator grows more vigorously. Thicker vegetation.
I've been to your site several times, it's quite impressive. I could probably spend months and months there, never cover it all. Yeah. But I went there and checked out from your last time you were on the show and talk about the Orgone generators. I went and checked that out on your site. However, I didn't have time to really study it like I like to study it, you know, like a textbook.
Right.
But I went there one other time because I thought you was putting me on about these selfs, and I went there and looked at them. I think I'll just go outside because there's a lot of chemtrails around, see if I can see some, and I'll be darned.
Oh, you
there they were.
See? Okay, yeah. If you think about them, there are, I know this is hard for people who aren't accustomed to this information. They tend to scoff at it usually, but let's assume, you know, you're at least open-minded to the topic. Sylphs are actually hot. A more highly conscious development than actually humans are. We are spirits clothed in a human body of flesh.
Well, boy, I can't wait till I ascend into higher consciousness. I'm gonna munch on chemtrails.
If you read ZSL's article about sylphs, he will tell you there is definitely a human component to sylphs.
Yeah, I understand that. I'm just sort of making it.
Yeah, I know. You're looking forward to having your chemtrail Twinkies. I know.
Beast. Yeah.
I have a positive comment. I have one positive comment to make, and then I'll let you go. Thank you for your generosity and the time. But there was quite a revelation that was on the internet talk show circuit. Happened to be on Alex Jones' show, but apparently someone hacked into the Global Warming University site in England, hacked their computers, and got all kinds of emails and internal correspondence between them and Goddard Space Center, 145 megabyte file when it was unzipped, and shows beyond any doubt whatsoever that the global warming thing is a hoax. It's perpetrated by the government, et cetera, et cetera. I think this is going to blow a real hole in this new world order. So I'll let you go, gentlemen.
Okay, Gary, thanks for calling in. And in case we don't talk to you by Thursday, have a great Thanksgiving.
You too, sir.
Okay.
Bye.
And to Rodney out there. I know Rodney's still listening. So, and to everybody else, for that matter.
Oh, yeah. Let's wish everyone this is Thanksgiving time. And, yeah, this is the time to maybe that's why I sort of wanted to launch into this theme tonight, that don't let all this dark political news get you down. These people are in the in their closing days. I feel it. I just feel it. It's not going to be a quick turnaround, but it's not going to happen. The New World Order thing is not going to happen. They're not going to pull off, you know, major, you know, U.S. cities going up, you know, with their nukes. It ain't going to happen. There's not going to be no worldwide pandemic. What they tried in the Ukraine is already well on its way to being squashed. It's not going to happen. They're not going to win. So we have this is the time to give thanks, because you bring in a lot of help when you recognize that, A, the whole thing's a game anyway, or a play, is more correct way to put it. It's just a play. We're all here to learn a spiritual lesson. We're all on a spiritual journey. But when people, you know, think in a positive mode, it invigorates the creative juices, and we're all connected to God. So, you know, a lot of good things happen when you think along positive lines. All kinds of unexpectedly pleasant things show up, like Gary seeing the sylphs, you know?
Mm-hmm.
If you never thought about the sylphs, if you only concentrated on the doom and gloom part, he might not have seen the sylphs. Your thoughts have you act as a transmitter. Your thoughts have a lot to do with affecting the thoughts of the people around you, especially the people who are unaware of what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And the more you radiate this, you know, this positive communication, there's all kinds of beings who can pick up on those thoughts, including sylphs and friendly aliens and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, and they can be addressed very simply. You can call them. You don't have to wait to see if they show up. You can call them, and they'll come.
Yes, they will.
As we have seen many, many times. Ken, you've got that on video, And, of course, you've taken stills from your videos as well as still photos.
Yep.
I've taken a number of stills. I have other people I know doing the same thing. And they're pretty magnificent, some of what you see. You never know. And you could be looking up at the sky, and it's sometimes difficult when the sun is shining behind the clouds, or if the sun is somewhere where it's not behind the clouds, and you look up to see these clouds or these chemtrails, and it's difficult to focus your eyes, but you will see characteristics that look totally different from when these things just spread out on their own.
Yep.
Because they start as these thin lines, and they expand, and they become sort of tube-shaped. And when you call sylphs, and basically it's a very casual thing. I mean, you can be as formal with it as you want, but I'm telling you, you don't need to be. I just say, okay, guys, where are you? Look at what's up here. And they come.
Yep.
They're, you know, because I'm expecting them to hear me, you see. It's that mm-hmm. anticipation, that expectation that helps them connect. And when they're done, just thank them.
Right. That's important. That's a lot to do with it, Don. Gratitude is part of the deal. because it energizes the whole system. You know how it is. You know, when people thank you for something that you do, it energizes you. Musicians who, you know, when the audience applauds, this is like a tonic to a musician. It energizes you. So, because you're sharing, you know, the positive vibes, positive feelings of goodwill. I mean, it's amazing how much energy you can get. It's often occurred to me that beloved musicians, highly respected, you know, the great ones, why do they always live into their 90s? You know, Rubinstein or Casals or Andre Segovia, all these guys live into the mid to late 90s. Why is it they live so long? Because I think they've got so much life force energy from the audiences over, you know, assuming you don't drink too much, you know what I'm saying? Assuming you take care of yourself. I think the life force that they get from the audience appreciation, sustains them and gives them a desire to live a lot longer. You know, when everyone loves you, you need you, wants you, you know, you have a big, you know, drive to stick around. So your body responds to that desire.
Well, also the amount of dedication and discipline that goes into practicing to develop the kind of technique that concert artists have is a way to raise one's consciousness and one's vibration. You're operating on a different level. And I think what happens is when you perform in front of people that haven't been through that, you sort of bring them up to that vibration. Through your performance, provided you're really practicing, not for the sake of just practicing, but you're making that connection. You see, because every time you practice, you're tapping into that higher power, that higher realm, and it's when you can compose or when you can interpret the music of another. In an effective way to sort of communicate the composer's feeling and put some of your own into it, it has to be a good performance. I mean, that's what makes for a good performance is the communication factor.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You know, well, Ken, speaking of gratitude, we have to call it a night. Seth needs his beauty sleep very badly.
Of course, absolutely.
He's probably writing me a message as we speak now. But I'm grateful that you were able to come on the show on such short notice. And you're scheduled again tomorrow, so we can certainly pick this up and go into a couple of other areas as well. There's a lot that we could talk about. So I want to thank you for being on Evident Footprints and encourage the listeners to go to your website, educate, pay attention, Rodney, -yourself.org or educate-yourself.org. Ken, a closing thought.
Well, first, it's always, you know, thank you for having me. It's always enjoyable to have these talks because, you know, in many cases I've been putting at least some of these talks up on my website and other people get to hear it, you know, from the archive. So gives me a chance to talk about these things in a free conversational manner and rather than just write about it. And in this case, I just wanted to emphasize the idea that there are, you know, not to allow the depressing news we hear on the political front with the health bill and the stimulus package that didn't stimulate anything except the crooks in Congress, etc. And or any other sounds like ominous developments. I'm very sorry that they pushed the swine flu vaccine this year. I think that's definitely turning around, though. I think less and less people have made up their mind who haven't gotten the vaccine that they're not going to get it, which is definitely a smart move. So I just got to remind people, this is not the end whatsoever. The New World Order thing is not going to go down. In my very sincere opinion, I don't think the country is going to collapse. We're going to go into this 10-region North American Union and all that. That's what, you know, the manipulators would like us to believe, but we create our reality with our collective thoughts. So if we're all thinking along the line that, we're not going there, we're not going to have another French Revolution on this continent, and we're not going to have our military or our law enforcement betraying their own countrymen, they're not going to go there, and we're just not going to let these dark boys get away with it. You know, we're getting help. We're certainly defeating their chemtrail poisoning operation. There's no question about it. No question about it. They thought we'd be in bad shape by now. 11 years later, it's failing. Their swine flu deal, it's failing. Their Ukraine special weapons op thing, it's in the process of failing. So take heart.
And their phony birth certificate.
Right. Take heart. You know, the righteous and the just, and, you know, the people who are on the right side of law and order and civility and you know, what should be the American way, which has always been a beacon of inspiration for the world, for real freedom, not just, you know, Illuminati disinformation use of the word, but real freedom, real liberty, real defense of the downtrodden and all that. That's what Americans are all about. That's our birthright, and that's, we're going to take back this country, and we're going to kick the bums out and put them in jail where they belong. New World Order is not going to succeed.
Yes.
That's my final thought.
Well said. Okay, Ken Adachi, thanks for being on Evident Footprints. We've got to say goodnight, but I'll see you again in another 23 hours.
Okay, Don, thanks.
And a few extra minutes. folks, you have been listening to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com, and our special guest, Ken Adachi. Special thanks to Wind Talkers Radio Network and blogtalkradio.com, Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible, Seth Hendrick on the sound, and most of all, you, the listening audience, for tuning in. I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.